This is our Vision Sunday. We'll do our annual meeting afterwards. I saw some people leaving before. They thought we were doing a business meeting during the service, but we don't do a business meeting during the service. We celebrate what Jesus has done. Actually, the business meeting, we're celebrating what Jesus has done, too. Just a little formality we have to have because we're a corporation. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of 1 Peter. A letter of 1 Peter, if you're not familiar with your New Testament, your Bible, that is going to be on the right-hand side of over halfway through, about three-quarters of the way through, probably actually about 80% of the way through, all the way, almost all the way. It comes before 2 Peter, after Hebrews. So I'm going to share with you for a few minutes from Scripture. I want to reflect on Scripture, and my point today is that God builds his church. He uses people, but ultimately God is the great builder of his church. And so we're going to look at that, and then I want to go over some things with you before we close and just kind of give you a review of God's faithfulness in the life of our body. And then, like I said, we said that we'll do our annual meeting. So every year we celebrate what God has, God's work in and among and through our church family. Recognizing, as I said, God is the great builder. And we do this as we reflect on Scripture, review the last year, renew our focus, and respond to God's work. Anyway, so if you read your Bible much and you read through the Old Testament, you'll see a reoccurring theme that is in the life of Israel. And they rehearse and they remember the Exodus. And the Exodus, if you're not familiar with the Bible, the Exodus is God's great deliverance of God's people when they were in slavery to the Egyptians, where he miraculously delivered them through the Red Sea, and it was a great picture of God's redeeming act and God's redeeming power and God's redeeming love for his people. And we've seen movies that have been made of the one with Charlton Heston with the Ten Commandments, called the Ten Commandments, right? And then more recently, they did a cartoon of it called Moses. I haven't seen those. But it's God's reminding God's people what God has done and God's great power and ability to save his people. Because one of the challenges for God's people is to continue to remember that. We are people who lose focus and who get distracted and who stray. God is always pointing us back that he is the great deliverer in our lives. And if we want deliverance, if we want freedom from the sin and the struggles and the things we face on a daily basis, we need to keep coming back to the source of that redeeming power, which is God. And for us specifically as followers of Christ, it is Christ and the work of the cross on our behalf. And so let's read verses 4 through 10 of 1 Peter, and then we'll pray. Chapter 2, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, that is, who reject Christ, the stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word not just informs the mind, not just helps us to think clearly about truth and reality and how the world is, but it shapes the heart. It brings about moral transformation of those character flaws, those defects, those sin and sin that we all struggle with. And so, Lord, I ask that as we look at your word, that you would bring light to our minds and you'd bring transformation to our hearts, Lord, and you would raise our level of hope, faith, and expectation to be consistent with who you are, what you have done in our lives, what you are doing in our lives, and what you promise to do in our lives. By the work of your Spirit, Lord, we need the work of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said earlier, my main point is that God built his church. And the first thing we see from these verses is that God builds his church through people who believe. That God builds his church through people who believe. He starts out saying that in verse 4, as you come to him. Now, those who come to him is a metaphor. It's a metaphor that describes coming to faith in Christ. And as we if you look at 1 Peter in chapters 1 coming up into this section, those who come to him are those who describe in verse 1 of chapter 2, those who long for the spiritual milk of the word. Or in verse 3, those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so faith is more than just an intellectual sense, it's more than just a head knowledge, but it is a desire for God. It is a desire for Christ, and it's a relying on the work of Christ in our lives. So those who come to him, who have put their faith in him, are those who have longed for him, in contrast to those who have rejected him in verses 6 through 8 that we read. And those who believe are then described as living stones. They are living because Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He rose and is alive. You and I have life within us that the Bible describes as eternal life because Jesus is alive and he is life. So we are described as being living stones, or like living stones, stones that are alive because we have the life of Christ himself within us. We are living stones because he has begotten us. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As followers of Christ, as Christians, we are not moralists. That is, we don't believe that our goal in life is to be good people. Our goal is not to do the right thing. Ultimately, as followers of Christ, we are not religious. That is, we are not committed to forms of religion as a way of attempting to gain God's favor or gain God's approval. Christianity, followers of Christ, the core, the essence of who we are people who are dead spiritually, numb, rebellious against God, turned our back against him from birth, who are dead, who Scripture describes as being children of wrath. That is, we are under his condemnation and his judgment. Yet in his grace and mercy and love towards those same creatures, he has made us alive. So he has taken people who are dead and made us alive. And as a result of being alive, all those other things, the moral transformation, the desire to gather together with others and participate in community life, is the result of that, but not the source of that life. So we are living stones because Jesus Christ has made us alive. And Jesus is more than an object of interest. He is described as precious. That is, he is invaluable to us. He is everything to us because he is the source of that life. So let me ask you today, is Jesus everything to you? Is he precious? Or is he just an object of interest to you? He's just a great teacher that you want to follow, someone that you think is someone who you are interested in. Or is he precious and invaluable, and does he mean everything to you? So God builds his church through people who believe, and there are many, who've come to faith through the ministry of CCC. You, through relationships or coming to church on Sundays, for the first time in your life, the gospel has made sense, and you've come to faith. And that's how God builds his church, by drawing people to himself, so that they recognize the preciousness of Christ and they come to believe because of the work that he has done in their lives. So the first thing we see from this passage is that God builds his church through people who believe. And second of all, we see that God builds his church through people who belong. We are described, as I said earlier, as like living stones because we are connected to the living stone, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 again. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up. So we are living stones because we're connected by faith to Jesus Christ, the living stone. And it makes sense that we are described as living stones because we are being renewed in the image of Jesus Christ, the living stone. You know, there is something about the human potential movement that is true, although it is warped and distorted. To become truly human and to live to our potential is not to put confidence in myself, but is to put confidence in the one whose image I am created after, in whose image I am being renewed to. So to become truly human is to put your faith in Christ, because it is then that the image that God has put in each one of us to reflect him, it becomes renewed and restored so that we are conformed into the image of the true man, which is Jesus Christ. And so in a real sense, Christianity is a people who are being renewed to live out their true potential as human beings, as we were designed and created to be in the beginning, when God created humanity in his image. We are described as living stones also. That makes sense because stones are used to build a spiritual house. He says that these living stones are being built up into a spiritual house. And we have many builders here, and we all know that building, that you take raw material and you put it together to make a house. The raw material on its own isn't a house, right? 2x4s and nails and trusses and drywall and conduit and lights don't make a house. But you put them all together and it builds a house, or it makes a house. And in the same way, living stones are described as being built together into a spiritual house. And so those living stones are necessary for the building of that spiritual house. Those living stones are necessary part of the structure of the spiritual house, and they are interconnected. When my kids were young, we had Lincoln Logs. You remember the Lincoln Logs? Those brown Tootsie Roll looking things that have cutouts on the ends. And you put those together, and what you do is to lay them crossways on each other, perpendicular to each other, and when you did that, they would lock together and you could build a log cabin. And as long as those pieces were interlocked, interconnected, the structure was stable. And if you're younger than that, maybe you remember Legos. Legos are those little rectangular pieces of plastic that are multicolor and that have little holes or circles on the top, right? And they lock and they click together. And you can not just make buildings, but you can make Star Wars ships, cities, and you can actually make people that will move. But what makes those strong and effective is the fact that they are interconnected. And Peter describes the church as a spiritual house that is made up of living stones that by necessity are interconnected. And it is that through that interconnectedness that he is building a spiritual house. And he's building his church because the church is central to God's purposes for humanity. The kingdoms of this world will be swallowed up and overtaken by the kingdom of God. The Bible describes that ultimately that this world will be taken over by the kingdom of God, not by force, not by military might, but by God renewing the earth so that it is hospitable and ideally fitted for his people to live on for all eternity. And that the kingdoms of this world are all temporary and transitory. And so God isn't as concerned about the kingdom of this world as he is about the kingdom of Christ. So don't confuse the two, and don't put your hope in the kingdoms of this world that are just transitory. And have a purpose here, but it is a temporary purpose compared to the eternal purposes of the kingdom of Christ. Some of us have found a home at CCC, a place to belong, and whose lives are interwoven into the lives of others, where you found community, where you found friendships, where you found relationships that are encouraging to you, that have been used by God to bring healing and transformation. I'm often reminded of this on Sunday as we gather together, as I see many of us, or actually I should say some of us, helping each other out with our kids. Single moms that need help with their kids, or just others of us that see their kids running around and they'll pick them up and they'll take them back to their kids. Some of us, when we've been sick, when we've given birth, that we gather around you and we supply you with the needs that you have and we supply you with meals. And when you're in crisis and when you're having difficulty, we gather around you and we pray for you. And some of you, when you were in the middle of building your house, where people have come around you and help you build that house. And when you had nobody else to rely on, there were people that came around you that you could rely on. So the church is described not just as it's described as a house because it's a family. And the one thing about family is that it sticks together, right? We may not always like each other all the time, we're always going to be there for each other, right? You ever gone to a family reunion and there was Aunt Millie and everybody, you know, Aunt Millie could talk and talk and talk, and you knew if she cornered you, she was going to talk your head off. Or your grandma, when she would see you, would come up to you and kiss you and say, oh, you're growing, and she'd grab your cheeks and squeeze the cheeks. Or your parents, when you were down and you were out and you were struggling and you knew that you could go back home because your parents would be there for you. And you didn't have to prove anything to your parents. You didn't have to be somebody you weren't to your parents. See, this is the beauty of the gospel and the Christian community, the church, is that we're all sinners. We all have baggage. And none of God's children are perfect. And the foot of the cross is flat. And we are accepted because of what Christ has did on our behalf, not because of what we do or don't not do. And if that is true, and I believe that that's true, that means that I don't have to be perfect in front of you. That I can tell you about my struggles because I know that you will accept me and embrace me. That you won't look down upon me. I've said 100 times, Christianity is one beggar offering another beggar bread, crumbs of bread. And if you look down upon other people in their sin, it's telling that you don't understand the gospel. Particularly that you don't understand the gospel for yourself fully. See, we all have a tendency to look at our own sin and accept our own sin and accept others whose sin is like ourselves, right? But when we look at somebody else's sin that we don't struggle with, we wonder, why are you struggling with that? Because I don't struggle that way. Or we say, I've overcome that, you should overcome that. Everybody's unique and distinct. Again, that's the beauty of the gospel, is that the foot of the cross is level. And we're all on the same level playing field. And because we've been accepted in Christ, we can accept each other. And all the warts and all the junk that we have. And it's the evidence of God's grace in our lives that we accept each other. Because everybody loves everybody until you get to know them. Right? So God builds his people, God builds his church through people who believe. God builds his church through people who belong. And God builds his church through people who contribute. The purpose of God building a spiritual house, verse 5 tells us, is that you are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So living stones are now described or likened to a holy priesthood who are offering spiritual sacrifices, that is, making a contribution in God's spiritual house, his church. So what this tells us is that we grow spiritually as individuals as we are connected to God's church, to to God's people. As we are part of the spiritual house that God is building. And that tells us that growth happens best in community. The church, and if this is your family, then I would tell you that this church is God's provision for you, for your spiritual health, your spiritual growth, and your spiritual vitality. And when you embrace that and become connected with other people in community, you will not just survive spiritually, but you will thrive spiritually. Because growth happens best in community. I was asking somebody recently, somebody that was part of our church and I just haven't seen around in a while, and I asked them where they were, and they said, oh, they moved. And when I asked why they moved, I found out that they had run into some issues, and rather than facing us on a Sunday morning, they just moved. Now, what's sad about that is that, first of all, they didn't fully understand the gospel for them, that they were accepted in Christ irrespective of their behavior. And I'm not making an excuse for their behavior. And they didn't understand fully the power of a gospel community that will gather around each other in the midst of their failure and help them walk through that failure and experience the power of the transforming grace of God in their lives. So we're described as spiritual, living stones who are a holy priesthood, who offering sacrifices or making contributions. So that growth comes through consistently sitting under God's word as it's preached every week, being connected in small groups or life groups where we develop meaningful relationships centered around God's word, and that we're connected to others in mentoring and discipling relationships. So the spiritual house that God is building is dependent upon living stones, just as a body is dependent upon limbs to function. Those who believe are those who belong, and those who belong are those who contribute as a holy priesthood. So again, he's not talking about spirit or literally, but he's using it as a metaphor. Under the old covenant, the priesthood were those who served in the temple. And the temple was dependent upon their services. But with the coming of Christ and him establishing the new covenant, we understand, Scripture tells us that all of us now are priests, and all of us have a responsibility, and we have something to contribute to the functioning of not the temple, but his church, which is the new temple, the temple of his Holy Spirit. And so without priests, the temple could not function in the same way without all of us as living stones and as a holy priesthood, this church can't function. There's no such thing as armchair priests or armchair Christians. Those that sit on the sidelines and tell everybody else the better way to do it, but don't ever do it themselves. And so the sacrifices is a metaphor for contributing to the house that God is building. And each one of us contribute our time, our talents, and our treasures. That is our time. We give of our time to serve and to use our talents, that is our gifts and abilities that God has given us, and use our treasures. Those things are resources to help support the ongoing of the church. And I could list dozens and dozens of people that give of their time, of their talents, and of their treasures to make this body, I'd say a fine-oiled machine, but it's not necessarily always a fine-oiled machine. but serve. Because it's an organic body. It's alive and it's living, but it still needs those of us who call CC our home to use our time, our talents, and our treasures to make it function. So God builds his church through people who believe. God builds his church through people who belong. God builds his church through people who make a contribution. And then lastly, God builds his church through people who communicate the good news. Look at verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there's three titles. We're called a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And just think of that phrase, a people for his own possession. It's a term of endearment. It's a term that identifies the three other titles, is that we are his possession. That is the God of the universe who created the universe and created the earth as a perfect environment in which man could thrive. Yet almost immediately, humanity rebelled against him. Turned their backs on him. Yet in his grace and his mercy, he pursues us and chases us down and reconciles us to himself. A people who are insignificant and rebellious, yet in love and grace and mercy, he pursues us, he chases us down, and he makes us his own. And so we are his, and he is ours. So in a real sense, we can say he is our God. He is my God. Not that I own him, but that I know him personally. But the purpose of being his possession is not that we keep him to ourselves, because it says, you are people for his own possession so that you would proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a people who God has rescued from darkness, or other places, Paul tells us that describes it as the kingdom of darkness, that we were under the rule and reign of darkness, our own sin, in evil forces. But he has rescued us and delivered us from that and brought us into his marvelous light. And that's why Jesus is called the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Actually, that's the wrong one. I am the light of the world. And then he describes those excellencies in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The excellencies he describes or defines as those who are not God's people are now God's people. Those who have not received mercy have now received God's mercy. And his point is that we have good news to share. And because that news is good, we desire to share that. We want to share that. Now, if you had a vaccine and everybody in the world was infected and the only vaccine was the vaccine you had, wouldn't you want to tell people about it? And some of us are here because someone has shared the good news with us. And so God builds his church through a people who believe, through a people who belong, through a people who contribute, and through a people who communicate. But ultimately, It is God who builds his church. And CCC is healthy and thriving because God is working in us and among us and through us for his good purposes. And so we should be thankful for what God is doing in our midst. So let's look at a few things as we continue to reflect. I want to look at, let's go to the next slide. So I want to go over some CCC distinctives. So this is what makes us unique. Because every church, we all do the same thing, basically, right? Most generally, everybody's got their flavor, okay? And that flavor is oftentimes defined by personality, or it is defined by scripture and the word. And so we, as a church, believe that the centrality of the word is central. Centrality of the word, central, as I'm repeating myself. That the word needs to be central in the life of our body. And so that's why we put a high priority on the word and teaching and training in the word. And it's also a reason why we put a high priority on expository preaching. Now, expository preaching is basically just going verse by verse, explaining scripture in the larger context of which it was written. So we do very little topical, very little to no topical preaching, teaching, because it is the best way to communicate truth, and it is the most helpful way for you to understand how I read the Bible and for you to read the Bible and understand the Bible. The Bible isn't meant to read, take a verse here, take a verse here. It is meant to be read like a book. How many of you like to read novels? Okay. When you read a novel, do you ever pick it up and open it up and say, I'm going to read from here today? Or I'm just going to read a sentence today? It doesn't make sense, right? And but too often, that's the way many of us read our Bibles. I'm kind of poo-pooing it, but I don't say that's necessarily all bad, because we all have heard testimonies and stories about how you've opened up the Bible one day and it spoke to you, right? But the Bible is a story that is continuous from Genesis to Revelation, and everything has context. And so let me encourage you, if you're going to read books of the Bible together. Don't just go from here to there. I had a friend of mine who just read certain sections of the Bible all the time. And that's why he was drawn to them, because they were his favorite section of the Bible. But that's like going to the all-you-can-eat store or the all-you-eat restaurant and going back to the dessert bar. And the problem is you don't get a well-balanced diet. So the centrality of the word, I'll just leave it with that. Okay, empowered by the Spirit, we believe that the Spirit is available for us to empower us. It's one of the reasons why we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit, is to bring clarity and understanding of the work of the Spirit in us, the work of the Spirit through us, and the work of the Spirit among us. I believe that we can, as we sang today, there's always more. We all have the Holy Spirit, but there's always more that we can have of his influence and his power in our lives. And until we experience perfection, you need the work of your Spirit. Do you realize how desperate you and I are for the work of the Spirit every single day? Every single moment. I mean, you've heard me say this before. The psalmist prays, open my eyes that I would see wonderful things from your word. The implication is that unless the Spirit opens up your eyes, you won't be able to see wonderful things from the Word. That is, you'll be able to see truth, you'll be able to see facts, you can see information, but you won't relish in it. You won't find great joy in it. Your heart won't be moved by it. Third, relational discipleship. That discipleship best happens in the context of relationships. So developing intentional, deliberate relationships where we can speak into the lives of other people. And all of us should have somebody who's more mature than us and somebody who's less mature than us. And having people speak into our lives and us speaking into the lives of other people. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved or have been a Christ follower or have come to faith in Christ for a month or 6 months or 6 years. We always need people speaking into our lives, and we always can be speaking to the lives of other people. Next slide. Community through life groups. That actually should be community and discipleship through life groups. Is that we're a church of probably, I think we're averaging about 135, 140, between 130 and 140 on a Sunday. You can't develop meaningful relationships here on a Sunday morning. You can connect with people, you can say hi, but if you have a problem, you're probably, when someone says, how are you doing, you're probably going to say, fine, right? Because it's not necessarily the most appropriate place to say, my life's falling apart. But it's in the context of relationships that you have meaningful, deeper relationships on a regular basis with a group of people that you can develop community, that you can be honest with them and they can be honest with you, and you can speak into the lives of other people. So let me encourage you, if you're not in a life group, get involved in a life group. And then Christian education on Sunday mornings and at other times, we put a lot of effort into our Sunday morning Sunday school classes, adult and children's. We put a lot of time and a lot of effort in that because we believe that it is important to shape the mind as well as to shape the heart. And so we have a systematic approach to training our children, and we have a systematic approach to educating our children and educating the adults. Let's go to the next slide. So we've been reflecting. We're going to review in the next slide. So this last year, we had David Wells come visit us in February. And actually, he's coming next, it says not February, he's coming in the month of March. He'll do something with the men again, and Lynn is also coming with them. She'll do something with the women. And David is our overseer for the group of churches that we are involved with called Life Links International. The Lord brought David into my life at a significant point of my life where I was disoriented as a pastor. I was disillusioned and discouraged as a pastor, and I could not see my way out or fight my way out of a wet paper sack. And somebody introduced me to David. He was visiting Homer. He was visiting another church, and it was like the lights turned on after having a two-hour conversation with him. Karen and I sat down, and it's been very helpful for us in the life of this church. We've had transitions in children's leadership, ministry leadership. Brittany Johnson and Holly Hodges have taken over different aspects of the children's ministry, the children's church, and Pioneers. Brittany, unfortunately, and Ryan are moving. And then somewhere in the next 3 to 6 months. And so we're actually going to have another hole in Pioneers. And so if you're interested, we actually do have some people that are interested. But if you're interested in helping out in Pioneers, it would be a great asset. We'd appreciate it. Next slide. We have a young adults life group. The minority are here. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but Karen and I have been praying for 35 years for young adults, like, no, just for three or probably at least, well, 3 to 5 years. How's that? 3 to 5 years for a young adults life group, and the Swansons lead that up, and it's busting at the seams, and we had our second annual Christmas Eve service this year. Let's go to the next slide, which is great outreach. So our mission, this is the mission of CCC. As a worshiping community, we seek to transform lives by winning people to Jesus Christ, by training them to be followers of Christ, and then sending them both for local and global impact. That is, sending them out into our community and across the nations of the world. Next slide. In short, we seek to win, train, and send. Next slide. So winning, specifically, we desire to be a community of God's people that defines itself and organizes its life around the purpose of being an agent of God's mission to the world in making disciples. That is, our goal, and we're always striving to put discipleship at the center of what we do, because Christ has called us to make disciples, and that everything we do revolves around making disciples. And if it doesn't, isn't helping us make disciples, then we don't do it, or we drop it. Next. So this is under the win category in baptisms. In 2016, we baptized two individuals compared to five in 2015. Attendance on average for the year is 122 versus 117, and our giving was down from 214 to 208. And I believe that mostly is because of people transitioning in and transitioning out. Next slide. Train. We desire to transform followers of Christ through Sunday celebrations, like what we're doing now. Teaching and training in mid-sized groups. And so that's our adult Sunday school, and then the trainings that we have throughout the year. And then intentional discipleship and life groups, and I've already explained that. Next slide. So this year, training, we, in our adult Sunday school, we did a New Testament survey, and we're finishing up on that. The Homer Ministerial Association last year did grace-based parenting with Tim Kimmel. And next slide. Seth, Karen, and I went to a Global Leadership Summit, which is put on by Willow Creek Association, which is an association of churches. And it's the first time that it was done in Soldotna by satellite. I would encourage every business leader, anybody who wants to have influence or does have influence, to go to that. They have world-class leaders that come in, both Christian and secular, that it was phenomenal. The quality of leadership training and leadership advice and input that they put on, that we're able to participate. And so I would encourage anybody to go. If you would like to go and you don't have the resources, we would be happy to help you out. I would love for all of our elders to go and all of our ministry leaders to go. Women's retreat, Beautifully Rooted was sold out. They turned away women by the droves. And then Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace, we did that again. Huck and I did that this fall. Next slide. Send. We desire to send out transformed followers of Christ who give their lives away to the mission of the gospel of the kingdom, both locally and globally. And what that basically means is that we desire that as you are being transformed by the gospel, is that you take that transformation and share that good news to others, whether you do it here locally in Homer or across the nations. That is, if God calls you into missions or into some ministry someplace else, or even just calls you to move, that you are equipped to share the good news wherever you go. Next slide. And so our missions giving is basically the same as it was in 2015. Yuzinki, we sent our youth group on a short-term mission trip, and that is going to be something we do on an annual basis with our connection with the Joneses over in Yuzinki. And we sent 15 youth compared to 18 the year before. Next slide. Benevolence, we gave out $3,000 compared to $3,400 in the previous year. That's average. That's about $250 $260 or $270 a month that we give out to those within our community and those outside the community that come to us looking for needs. And then we, our PFD drive last year, in 2015, we raised, every year we do a drive based around the PFD fund. And we found that if there is a purpose behind that, for that, that people give. So several years, and I found this out from another guy in town who found out that people weren't giving of their PFD, and that if you give it a purpose, that people have a tendency to give behind that purpose or a project. And so several years ago, we started doing that, and often it is geared towards missions. And so last year it was geared towards Yuzinki, which is Tammy and Matt and Tammy Jones. And so we raised basically $13,000. This year we saved $7,000. And I actually, when I first started looking at it, I thought, oh boy, that's a lot less. But the dividend was half of what it was last year, right? Okay, so actually we did very well. And that this year is God's goes towards mission. So basically now we have a larger, I'm sorry, it goes towards benevolence. We have a larger benevolence fund from which to give from. Next slide. I can't even see that. Oh, my glasses on. Oh, that's the map of the world, isn't it? Is it? That's not the Death Star, is it? No, that's a map of the world. Okay, so that's a map of the world, and you see the two red lines. We actually have had a focus of three countries, Peru, India, and the Philippines. And this last year with the Weisers, Randy and Marla Weiser, leaving RBI, Resources for the Blind International, which is a ministry that we have supported, and coming over here and now working up at ABI, they no longer have a presence in the Philippines. And the other missionary that we support who's associated with RBI, their focus is not the Philippines per se, but they've kind of changed their, over the last few years, changed their bent and their focus. And so they're actually working with blind organizations, equipping them rather than working directly with Resources of the Blind Philippines. So that's the reason why there's only two red lines. So now it's just India and Peru. India and Peru. Next slide. So hence India and Peru. And then the state focus for us is Yuzinki. Next slide. Local focus is we have three ministries that we support. We have a heart for the Pregnancy Care Center, and you heard about that last week. LaDonna Stevens is the new director. I'm pretty excited to see what how the Lord is going to use her. The food pantry, we have a good connection with Diana. Jessica is who has had that and is making a transition with leadership, but she has been running that for years. And then the Salvation Army. Then the projects that we have done and that we do annually is back to school backpacks, where we put together backpacks for needy students. The Samaritan Purse, Christmas boxes, we do that every Christmas. The food pantry, we do the quarterly drive. That's the pallet that I said we're going to have out there, pallets that we're going to have out there next week, that you're supposed to bring what to? A case of food. That's non-perishable. That means 12 or 24. So let's see who can get the biggest case out there. Okay. And hey, back. I'm not done. And then the fifth Sunday of the month, we do the benevolence offering. This is the fifth Sunday of the month, so that's why we did our benevolence offering. That, again, goes towards our benevolence outreach. Okay, now you can go to the next slide. Okay, so I am very thankful for God, and we should be thankful for God for what he has done in our midst. You invited as a body, you invited people to come to know Jesus, you invited people to consider the claims of Jesus, and you've invited people to our Sunday services, and so people are hearing the gospel. You gave of your time, your talents, and your treasures. You served, and again, I was going to tell some of the people that serve tirelessly, but I didn't want to leave anybody out. But there are so many people that serve tirelessly. And so let me encourage you, on a Sunday morning, it requires a lot of people to pull off our Sunday morning. So let me encourage you, say thank you to somebody that you see serving, particularly those people that never get thanked. Seth doesn't get thanked. I don't get thanked. And it's very hard to keep going. No, I'm just kidding. The sound guys never get thanked. Thank you. Josh is back there. Dwayne, they do an awesome job. But anyways, I mean, the kids, the parents, I mean, the individuals who teach your children, you should thank them every week. And it's out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. There's two witnesses right there out of the mouth of babes. You think that was by accident? That was God. No, they pinched the baby. Okay, and then you sacrifice. You sacrifice, again, your time, your talents, and your treasures. We have so many people that are generous with their time. They're generous with their gifts and their abilities, and they're generous with their finances and resources. And it's just, for me, it's evidences of God's grace in the life of our people, life of our church. Next slide. So renew. So this is where we tell you what the elders are going to do, our focus for this next year. And so let's go to the next slide. So last year, we decided we're going to focus on three areas, leadership development, missional living, and prayer. And I found that over the, since we've been doing this for the last several years, is we always end up doing two areas, and the third area, it's just too much to really focus on. So we've cut out the prayer focus, so we're still working on prayer, cultivating prayer in our body, but also in cultivating our prayer ministry teams. Oh, we're late. Sorry, I thought we were going. Okay, so anyway, so we're focusing on developing leaders, raising up other people that can help lead, and then missional living, that is sharing the good news as part of normal everyday life. Next slide. Respond. Next slide. Celebrate. Let me encourage you to participate with us on Sundays to celebrate together. Commit your time, your talents, and your treasures. And then last, contribute. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was so late. I just was so excited to share all this with you. That we'll be back in 10 minutes for a business meeting. As I said, we have childcare downstairs in the gym and in the nursery. Stand up, take a break, and we'll be right back. The annual meeting will be about probably 15, 20 minutes.